The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, my engineer and producer, who does such a great job year-round for me here on the program. Everybody in the holiday mood at KVOI. My goodness, there are enough goodies in the green room and in the kitchen to keep us going a long time. I have to be very selective there about what I'm going to dive into. And just in time for the winter solstice on this Thursday, December 21st, 2017, get ready for the coldest night of the season. Hard freeze. Remember all of the animals. Make sure they are taken care of, brought in the house, and certainly cover all of your sensitive vegetation. We'll be doing that late this afternoon over at the Buckmaster household. Great show today. A lot of content. First half hour talking with Dr. Victoria Mazes, our monthly contributor to the program on health. She's one of 24 people we are so honored to have on board our program. We've been so blessed with this group. Dr. Mazes, Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She's a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine, and she is very committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that will help solve the United States healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health. She's also the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, and follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
We're doing very well. We're all into the holidays here. Of course, Dr. Mazes, this is supposed to be a joyous time of year. But, you know, with that comes folks who maybe aren't finding as much joy, and they're not only stressed out, they're a little bit depressed as well.
Well, I think that's true. Often we have very high expectations at this holiday season, and the season obviously can be wonderfully joyous and fun, and people have vacation time and family time. But for some, it's not so great. If you've recently had a loss, you come from a family where things weren't so great at the holidays, and you have an association of the holidays with maybe issues that have been unresolved for you or a painful childhood, you see other people who seem to be, you know, having a wonderful time. All of those can contribute to making it a stressful time for people.
Why don't we tackle this issue of stress? And I'd like to ask you, Dr. Mazes, what are some of your strategies for dealing with stress this time of year?
Yeah, so there's a proverb, a Zen proverb, that says you should spend 20 minutes in meditation every day unless you're too busy, and then you should spend an hour. And a lot of us this year get too busy to take care of ourselves or to continue the healthy lifestyle practices that include eating healthy food and getting enough physical activity and getting enough sleep and doing all of the other things that you may do in a normal time to really take excellent care of yourself and manage your stress well. So I think that proverb says we must remember our practices that help us be healthy, especially at this busy time of year. So for me, that's lots of exercise. And of course, this is a beautiful time of year to be out hiking. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the forms of exercise that I really like to do. I remember my meditation practice at this time of year, because there is a lot of kind of hectic and stimulating energy. So it's nice to go quiet. And then the third thing I'd say I do is I try not to overcommit. I try to not to make myself too busy because I find that stressful as well. And so that's an avoidance practice as opposed to a more active, you know, doing practice.
Well, sometimes I get so caught up in the day that I have forgotten to do. I try to do my breathing exercises morning and night, and I just remembered I didn't do them this morning.
Well, if you need to, Bill, I can handle the show, and you could just kind of go in the other room.
No, it just it's a iconic example of how busy we get,
right.
and our daily practices are sometimes pushed aside. I also try to reach out to people where I can. I don't like to, like you, schedule a lot of get-togethers. I try to, you know, monitor that, but I do try to reach out to those that just to give them a greeting this time of year.
Yes, I think it's a wonderful time of year to volunteer to help others who may be in need. And some families have a tradition where they will go to the food bank or to, help make holiday meals for people. I have a friend who goes to a volunteer clinic this time of year with her kids. So volunteering, often when we do these altruistic activities, not only are we helping others, but it makes us feel so much better as well. We've talked in the past about a gratitude practice, and this is a great time of year to express our appreciations. We sometimes do that in the form of gifts, but a card that tells people, you know, how much they have mattered in our lives and how appreciative we are is also a wonderful way to express that. I think that people who are religious, the holidays have a lot of spiritual significance, and so taking the time for religious practice or reflection on the time of year, there are just so many things that we can take the opportunity that these holidays bring to us.
You know, we've talked in the past about depression and this holiday blues. I think with folks that get outside this time of year and perhaps could even walk 10, 20 minutes, a half hour, kind of does help to clear your head, doesn't it?
Yes. And there are over 1,000 studies that look at the benefit of physical activity in terms of improving mood. So for sure, that's one that's definitely going to help with that feeling of depressed mood. Sometimes figuring out, what are the things that make you feel worse, whether it's an expectation that you should feel good, whether you're far from your family or friends at, this time of holiday where you want to be with them. Of course, we have technology things that can help. You can almost participate in a holiday with FaceTime and Skype and, other technologies that allow you to, at least connect maybe in a more meaningful way if you're at a distance.
We should mention about overeating, and of course I started the program by mentioning there are a ton of goodies here at the radio station, and it is very tempting, but sometimes folks do overdo it, and I think you can look at the scale between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and most people do gain a pound or two, maybe more.
Yeah, and I think overindulging in food often does add to people's stress, and people often don't feel as well when they're eating that kind of, let's say, unhealthy choice. So sometimes what helps is to have a healthy snack before you go to a holiday party so you don't show up starving and then go overboard on sweets. You didn't mention alcohol, but many people drink a little more alcohol this time of year, which can also impact and make depression worse. It can increase anxiety. It can negatively affect people's sleep. So being careful about how much alcohol you drink.
And, I want to go back to that scheduling because not only the lead up to Christmas, but I don't know about you, but there are so many invitations and get-togethers that people traditionally do between Christmas and New Year's that it might not be the best idea to schedule something day after day or night after night.
Right. And so having a reasonable expectation, you know, we're not all the same. I happen to be an introvert, which means that going to a party every day would be taxing. But for an extrovert, that may be a wonderful time. So knowing yourself and allowing yourself enough time to recharge your battery in whatever way you do that best and almost recover from each event, I think that people understand that you may have already a very full calendar and you know, that you can't accept every invitation.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. Ray, we're going to take it about a minute early with Dr. Mazes because I want to give a little extra time for our second topic today, and that's going to be so common, so many people, the topic of lower back pain. And a lot of people carry their stress in their lower back, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the strategies for dealing with that with Dr. Mazes when we continue here. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. And improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com, Jim Ninsel, editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Joe Ferguson, political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Our Friday Focus interview is with Mike Ortega, Tucson City Manager. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch, Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, the 21st of December. Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, is the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health, and we're delighted to have her with us on the live line. We spent the first segment talking about stress and holiday blues, and Dr. Mazes, one of the most common reasons for people visiting the doctor is back pain, especially lower back pain, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's incredibly common. In fact, it's said to affect 29% of adult Americans each year. So it's out there. It's also the main reason people miss work anywhere around the world, and it costs us a lot of money, $90 billion a year in the U.S. spent on back pain.
Well, I think there is, at least I have noticed, some kind of a stress-related component that can come up. If you're stressed out, you may be more prone to kind of get a little bit of a lower back pain or even a mid-back pain. So our opening topic of stress, I think, fits right in here.
Yes. You know, it is interesting to think about that mind-body connection and how our bodies express some of the emotional experiences. So, for example, we have this even in our language. You know, we have a pain in the neck, right? So when someone's going through maybe difficulty with another person in their lives, they may experience a pain in the neck. You know,
yes.
There's a pain somewhere else too. We won't mention that.
Right.
We talk about irritable bowel syndrome. You know, you're irritated and it's showing up in terms of GI symptoms. And in terms of back pain, this has been written about extensively by a physician who's now passed away, John Sarno. He essentially talked about this expression of psychological and emotional feelings as physical pain. And sometimes people would see him one time and essentially learn about this theory of his, and their pain would be gone.
Wow.
That's obviously not going to be true for everybody. But medicine now, as a whole, is recognizing the biopsychosocial model. So we're recognizing that things are not just biological or structural, but there's also the social context of our lives, like, you know, the stress we're under, for example, and the psychological, emotional components that can really also manifest in a variety of symptoms, including low back pain.
It may be counterintuitive to think that moving around with back pain would not be good, but it actually is better, I think, than sitting around if you have some lower back pain.
So that turns out to be absolutely true, and it's the exact opposite of what we used to advise people. We used to say, if you're in pain, you should go to rest. You know, you should lay down and not move, and that might help. And, you know, if you're in spasm, that may help to reduce spasm. But it turns out that the studies that look at is it better to exercise or avoid exercise are absolutely clear. It is better to be physically active, and being inactive can delay recovery. So exercise can vary. You can do exercises that increase your muscular strength. That can support better posture, can better support the spine. There are exercises that help with flexibility and range of motion, which again can include make your function in the world better, allow you to resume normal activities. It can increase the blood flow to soft tissues that may be inflamed, and that can promote healing and also can reduce stiffness. So physical activity, being active, is the right thing to do if you're having low back pain.
And if you are having lower back pain, there are some strategies. I know personally I have tried with an osteopathic physician who believes in manipulation, and I have also gone to a chiropractor and do still for manipulation on the back, and I have, my personal experience has been, it has been successful.
Yes, and so obviously somebody else who has the expertise and can recommend and treat an osteopath, a chiropractor, physical therapist, often covered by people's insurance, whereas chiropractic is not always, sometimes massage. There are several people who teach postural exercises like Esther Gokhale. There are the McGill exercises, and I tweeted them, and maybe you could put them on your website, but there are three exercises that are just seen to be incredibly important. One is a curl-up, which is really strengthening your abdominal tone. Another is called the bird dog, but you're kind of in a position where your knees and your hands are on the floor, and then you're bringing your knee and the opposite hand out, so it helps with your balance and helps again stabilize your core. And then a side bridge, and that position also really enhances the strength of many of your muscles, including your core strength. And as we do this, it strengthens us and it makes us less vulnerable to injuries and to back pain.
And now acupuncture has had mixed results on some of the studies, hasn't it, Dr. Mazes?
Well, acupuncture, as you say, the evidence is maybe not quite as strong, but it is in the things that were recommended by the American College of Physicians. It's considered to be very safe, and so it's recommended that before, for example, you go on opioid medicines or have surgery, that you do have a trial of acupuncture. And in Tucson, we're very fortunate. In addition to having wonderful acupuncturists in their own private practices, we have community acupuncture, and community acupuncture is very affordable. It's as little as $15 for a session, and you can Google and find community acupuncture in Tucson and know that that's available to you at a very reasonable price.
And I have had personal experience. I have had acupuncture for plantar fasciitis on my feet. It has been successful for tennis elbow, successful. And this one surprised some people. Arthritis, what is sometimes called trigger finger, again, successful so far, but has to be maintained, and it will not be a quick fix with one treatment.
Yes, and I think that is important to have an appropriate expectation. So usually if you're going to have acupuncture and you're trying to say, is it helping or not, hopefully you'll see that it's improving your symptoms within three or four visits. But I usually advise my patients, eight. If you haven't right. seen any benefit after eight visits, then I think it's reasonable to say, well, this probably isn't going to be the right treatment for me. But if you haven't seen benefit after one or two, then you probably want to continue a bit longer, assuming you're not having any problem with the acupuncture.
Now, getting back to lower back pain, is it true that most lower back pain will clear up on its own within a couple of days?
Yes, that's the good news, that for the most part, low back pain is short-lived. It said 90% of the time it's short-lived. And then there's what we call subacute, which can last up to 12 weeks, and then chronic back pain is considered more than 12 weeks. But as you can tell, 90% most of the time it's something that's annoying, uncomfortable, painful, but goes away pretty quickly.
A lot of people have had very good success with the fish oil supplements, supplementing that with turmeric, correct?
So those are anti-inflammatory
yes.
supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, especially I would say if the pain is due to arthritis, if it's inflammatory, then that's a very reasonable thing to add to the mix and to see whether that benefits you and reduces the pain. I have appropriate expectations. You know, unlike an opioid, which, you know, right away people go, oh, this helps, although the evidence is it does not help in the long term, these are going to take usually 30 to 60 days to really kick in and for you to notice that you are having reduced discomfort.
How has this year been, 2017, personally for the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona?
It's been a wonderful year. Many new initiatives, and we're reaching more and more people with our educational programs. We won some research awards, and it's just been a very exciting year.
Well, I want to wish you and yours and everyone with your staff who's been so helpful in scheduling our appointments all the very best. I hope it's a very joyous holiday season and, very importantly, a happy and healthy new year. We'll look forward to speaking with you, Dr. Mazes, in January. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bill. Same to you and your team at the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you very much. You can find out more about Dr. Mazes on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, and she's on Twitter at VMazes. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Mark Irvin hanging out here with my pal, Ollie Farhang. Ollie, got one question for you. What time is it?
Woo! It's game time, Arizona. On December 29th at 3:30 p.m., it's the Utah State Aggies versus the New Mexico State Aggies.
Ollie, I understand these teams don't even like each other.
It's been 57 years of bad blood, and we're going to settle it on December 29th at Arizona Stadium.
So, New Year's Eve's coming early to the old Pueblo.
Mark, on December 28th in downtown Tucson, we're going to have the University of Arizona Downtown Block Party presented by Rio Nuevo. And on the 29th, before the game, there's going to be the Desert Diamond Tailgate Festival with neon trees. After the game, it gets even better. You go right back downtown where Flock of Seagulls will be performing at the postgame party.
So where do people get more information?
Go to NovaArizonaBowl.com.
So all the net proceeds of this game go to charities. Isn't that cool?
Cool. It's awesome. And special thanks to our friends at Arizona Party Rental.
Thanks a lot, Ali and Mark. We'll see everyone at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. This is Ken Flower, an Arizona Party Rental production.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to ICSTucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. All of them wishing all the Buckmaster listeners a very happy holiday season. And if you have some time off over the holidays, Silver City is a great destination. A lot of history over there in the Silver City and Grant County area, just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. Please visit their fine website, which will tell you all about the great places to stay and dozens of recreation opportunities. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. Tucson and David Hardy, who is a former federal attorney, says even the 49% of Americans who believe that the government poses an immediate threat for the rights and freedoms of ordinary citizens may not understand really how bad things are. Mr. Hardy has a new book out. His latest book is titled, I'm From the Government and I'm Here to Kill You, The True Human Cost of Human Negligence. David Hardy graduated from the University of Arizona College of Law in 1975. He has been practicing law ever since, 32 years here in Tucson, 10 in Washington, D.C., as an attorney for the Interior Department. And he's handled cases all the way from city court to the U.S. Supreme Court. And on the side, he published 5 books. One of them turned out to be a New York Times bestseller. He has 26 law review articles, 2 of which have been cited as authority by the United States Supreme Court. And he has very rich and colorful background as an Arizonan, being born in Phoenix and raised in Tucson. His dad was born in Yuma. His grandfather was born in Cave Creek, Arizona Territory. And I like this one, David. Your great-grandfather, a guy by the name of Nate Hickman, was a gunman who took the alias of Charles Hardy. He was doing a little gunslinging back in, what, the 1880s?
1870s. 1872 was when he fled the Colorado Territory and took the alias.
So there was identity theft even then.
Oh, yeah. He stole it, I believe, from a guy in Salt Lake City, Charles W. Hardy.
Let's talk about the new book. What motivated you to write the book? And the title certainly is attention-grabbing, isn't it?
Yes. Mostly, I've worked with the government for 10 years defending it and sued it quite frequently during the rest of my career. And the thing that just struck me was how terribly unfair the law is when it comes to you are killed or injured by a government official. How terribly unfair it is to the average citizen to try to get legal redress. And I should be more cynical after 40-odd years practicing law and recognize that there is no such thing as justice, especially within the legal field. But somewhere in the back of my mind, I just felt that even though it's impossible to achieve, we have a duty to try.
How did all of that come about? Why is it so hard?
Well, it starts out, the federal courts perverted the English concept of sovereign immunity, that mm-hmm. the king could do no wrong. Under the English law, that was very literally, the king can do no wrong. You cannot sue or prosecute the king, but you can sue or prosecute anyone who carries out his orders. So that gave, there was no governmental immunity, purely George III. They had no trouble prosecuting the redcoats involved in the Boston Massacre because they weren't the king. Well, the federal courts in the 19th century took it on to mean that the entire government is immune from suit, no matter what it does. And so you had a situation where the government could destroy you, destroy your property, kill you, and you're out of luck.
So that narrative kind of goes back to the crown then, doesn't it? That what we're dealing with now that and what we've dealt through our American history goes back to the British crown.
Oh, yes, except that we perverted it somewhat, our courts did. At the end of the book, I have proposals for statutory change and dealing with the problem in hopes that Americans may again become as free as they were under the reign of George III.
What was your role as a federal bureaucrat? I mentioned you spent, 10 years in D.C.?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. How high did you aspire and rise to in the ranks?
Well, I was a GS-14, mm-hmm. which at least in the Interior Department, the only way you got a 15 was to be a manager. Hmm. And so I was right up there with, when I talk about officials in the book who are screwing up, fairly highly placed people, they were for the most part 13s or 14s, so I would rank up there with them.
790-2040, if you have any questions during our conversation with Mr. Hardy, he would be more than happy to entertain them. His book is titled, I'm From the Government and I'm Here to Kill You, The True Human Cost of Official Negligence, and we'll be getting into some of that official negligence, which you spelled out. But I want to go back to this whole thing that the king can do no wrong. How does that jive with the American Declaration of Independence, Mr. Hardy?
Well, it doesn't at all. That's the weird thing. I mean, the one theme of the Declaration of Independence is that George III did wrong, a whole bunch of different wrongs. Yeah. But then the courts go out and say, well, we don't have a king, and obviously he could do wrong in our view, but still we're going to give the entire government immunity. The English common law, there was a case where a gentleman arrested one of the colonials, their advocates in England, John Wilkes. He was arrested by a nobleman. Wilkes sued the nobleman for false arrest and won in spite of the fact that George III had personally ordered that guy to arrest him. Sorry, the king could do no wrong, therefore he couldn't have given that order. Literally, that's what the court said.
Let's go to our live line now. Our friend Jim Kelly would like to speak with Mr. Hardy. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Mr. Hardy. You talk about a sweeping immunization for government in general. Is it a sweeping generalization? Number one. Number two. Are there specific? Has a deep state been created because of those immunities? And what are some of the statutory reliefs that we can seek through our elected representatives?
Well, in the last chapter of the book, I have several proposals for doing just that. Down to a draft statute they could enact, which would change things. 1946, they enacted the Federal Tort Claims Act, which allowed suits against the government, but under very narrow circumstances, and had big exceptions that basically meant you, under those areas, you could not sue the government. So I propose to take the Federal Tort Claims Act and just rewrite it and make the government generally liable for intentional or negligent harm. The only argument I've seen against it is, well, that would cost the government too much. Well, okay, wait a minute. You're admitting that it kills and wounds so many people that it would cost too much to compensate them, and the people themselves are being damaged. So you're saying the burden of official negligence, the penalty of it, will fall upon the person who gets injured because he has to pay his medical bills. He has to come up with a replacement income while the government actors themselves just walk away.
How about his question about the deep state?
I think that is aided by the fact that there is total legal immunity in many areas. So really, there is no recourse. But I can tell you, having been a bureaucrat, yes, there is the concept of the deep state. We never called it by that name, but it was understood. Your greatest sin in life is to embarrass your own agency. One of the things I deal with, I have a chapter on the Waco affair, which is unbelievable, that when they called in a special prosecutor, what he did was he hired a whole bunch of government attorneys and former government attorneys. They brought, they in their report, they cited the allegations I'd made of perjury by certain named people, and they said, it's not, it's was probably unintentional. Then they prosecuted one man, a $17 million investigation, prosecuted one man, the assistant U.S. attorney who revealed the evidence that they were keeping secret, right? The one whistleblower, they prosecuted him for felony charges.
What was the reason for the raid? Which, by the way, we've got what next year will be the 25th anniversary of the events at Waco.
Yes. I've already been contacted.
So what was the reason?
Well, the official reason was they couldn't, they wanted to arrest David Koresh, the leader of the Davidians. And officially, the reason was they couldn't arrest him peacefully when he left the building because he never left the building. And if he did, they couldn't find out when. Well, in the book, I have a memo that I obtained through a three-year Freedom of Information Act suit that will, I mean, is unbelievable. That's why I put the memo image itself in the book. They had agents in the undercover house across from the Davidian building. These guys who supposedly didn't know what Koresh looked like and couldn't get him out of the building. 9 days before the big shootout and bloody raid, they went shooting with David Koresh.
What?
No kidding. That's why I put the memo in the book so you can read it with your own eyes. It's a report of the agents.
Wow. It is time to take the break, but Ray, I want to take Ralph so he doesn't have to sit through the break. Ralph has called us on the live line, 790-2040. Go ahead, Ralph.
Yes, sir. Just trying to understand what's going on in recent years, that there used to be a concept that you were innocent until proven guilty. And now it seems that everything is you're guilty until you can prove yourself innocent. Can you address that a little bit as to what has changed?
Okay. Thank you, Ralph. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, legally, it's in theory, it's the same, innocent until proven guilty. But in practice, so often it doesn't work out that way because the government has a whole bunch of advantages in any prosecution. And, for example, they can charge conspiracy and bring in hearsay against you. They can hide evidence and just crush you by the sheer weight of their authority and their legal teams, which are, of course, available to them for free. But in the book, I deal with concealing evidence of that the person is innocent, which is not permissible under the Constitution. And I got news for you. The federal government does it all the time.
Our guest is David Hardy. His new book, which is doing very well, by the way, on Amazon, is titled I'm From the Government, and I'm Here to Kill You, The True Human Cost of Official Negligence. We will take more of your calls at 790-2040. Also have some people checking in with us on Facebook, so we've got lots to talk about with Mr. Hardy after the break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonoochule.org/holidaynights.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB, here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. Tis the season for charity giving. First tip, check out give.org to find BBB accredited charities that have fully disclosed information to BBB Wise Giving Alliance. Second tip, request a free holiday issue of the BBB Wise Giving Guide to be sent to a friend or family member. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit bbb.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Green Things is your place for all of your holiday decorating. It is not too late to get some poinsettias. They've got some left, and they do such a great job, Jan and Jack, over by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things on 13 acres for all of your holiday needs. Check it out, go by, say hello, and they will take care of what you need to make your house look very holiday-ish. With us in studio is the author of a popular new book. It's this new book. It's titled, I'm From the Government and I'm Here to Kill You, The True Human Cost of Human Negligence by attorney and longtime Tucson resident David Hardy. Mr. Hardy, among other things, is an expert on the Second Amendment. We had a question on Facebook about presidential power, Mr. Hardy. Our Facebook friend says President Nixon said it's not wrong if the president does it. He has some questions, our friend anyway, about Mr. Trump. But anyway, generally, how much power does the president of the United States have?
Well, having worked under executive orders and having perverted at least one of them for the good of my fellow workers, that was
May I ask what that is? What was that?
It was a horribly written executive order to prevent the taking of private property by regulation.
Mm-hmm.
It was horribly written, and I had to take literally about 50 pages of single-space manuscript involved in it and make something workable for Interior Department out of it.
Okay, and now to the question.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, the presidential power, leaving aside things like commander-in-chief of the military, things where he has very broad powers, presidential power really breaks down into two categories. One is executive orders, where he can bind federal agencies, but not the average person. As a federal employee, I had to follow that executive order. If I think Reagan was president at the time, if Reagan had said, "Hey, Dave, I want you to do something at your house as a private citizen," it would have been tough luck. I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The other power of the president, and people forget this, most of his powers come by Congress. Congress says the president or an agency may regulate this, or sometimes Congress just says, you may not do this at all except as this agency allows. So those powers, but they're all given them by Congress.
You cite really a couple. Well, we talked a little bit about the Waco situation, but there was the atomic testing first above ground in Nevada and then underground. I have a little bit of experience from that covering for NBC Radio News at the NBC affiliate in Las Vegas in the 70s. Our radio station used to be the exclusive home of carrying the countdown for the underground tests. And we would have that live on the radio. And then there would be a spokesman at the Nevada test site north of Las Vegas who would tell us how the test went. Well, I must have done dozens of these live shots on the radio, and it always turned out the same way, Dave. Everything's fine. Well, we later learned that certainly one of them that we knew of vented a lot of radiation into the environment.
Oh, yeah. The above-ground tests were, one of them alone approached the radiation deposits created by the Chernobyl reactor blow-up in the Soviet Union. Taken together, they made Chernobyl look like a child's play. And it was so dense that there were people downwind, the downwinders, as they called themselves, who were getting skin burns from radiation.
People who were downwinders who lived primarily in Cedar City, Utah, and southern Utah.
Yeah.
They tried to sue the government repeatedly. What were their settlements generally like that they did get?
They lost their case. It was handled by, among other people, Dale Harrelson, the late attorney here in Tucson. And they lost in court, and then finally Congress created a compensation fund for them, which was, I forget the amount per head, but it was like maybe $10,000 or $20,000, nothing comparable to, for example, the 9/11 compensations.
Mm-hmm. Sean Hoffine has called and would like to ask Dave Hardy a question. Go ahead, Sean.
Counselor, you said that the executive doesn't have a huge amount of power over the people, but in 1941, the Executive Order 9066 actually penned up American citizens like cattle.
Hmm.
That's pretty serious power for a executive, wouldn't you say?
Yep, and it was upheld by the Supreme Court. I'd like to think that the Supreme Court would not do the same today, but yeah, you're talking about the Nisei, citizens of Japanese descent who were essentially rounded up and their property taken away and transported to the equivalent of POW camps.
How soon did that go then to the Supreme Court after that executive order of 1941?
It was pretty quick. I forget just how.
And the Supreme Court rubber-stamped the executive decision.
Yeah, I think it was Korematsu v. U.S., who was actually held. Korematsu was actually held in the they had a camp up on Mount Lemmon.
Yes. You don't recall if that was a unanimous decision by the Supreme Court, do you?
I think it was split.
Oh, okay. What about we mentioned atomic testing. You also talk about the Texas City explosion of 1946. I was not familiar with that one.
Yeah. Well, what happened at the end of World War II, we decided we need to ship fertilizer to war-torn Europe as part of the Marshall Plan. And some genius had the idea that during the war, we were making sensitized ammonium nitrate as high explosive, especially for filling aircraft bombs and torpedo warheads. Well, I bet that stuff would make great fertilizer, too. So it was produced under a patent for making waterproof explosives. And they put the armament plants back to creating the stuff and then shipped it to the Texas City port. And the armament factories were telling their bosses, this stuff is dangerous. You're making us make it too fast. It's coming out at too high a temperature. The bags are bursting in the flame. Let us slow down. And the orders were, no, you must maintain production. So they shipped it to Texas City and put 2,300 tons of it on a ship, which caught fire and blew up, devastated about a half of the town, killed 600 odd citizens.
Wow, that many? 600.
Yep. They're not entirely sure because basically some of them were pretty fragmented. And
did their relatives have any recourse or suing or anything?
Well, they sued. It was the first major case brought under the new Federal Tort Claims Act, went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, tough luck.
Mm.
This was a decision that could have been based upon a policy consideration, namely, we have a policy of killing people if necessary in order to get that fertilizer to Europe, so you cannot sue them.
Dave Hardy, a pleasure having you on the program. Your book is titled I'm From the Government and I'm Here to Kill You, The True Human Cost of Official Negligence. The book is doing very well on Amazon. That's probably the best place, Dave, to get a hold of the book, correct?
Oh, yes. If you want to see, I've got links.
Oh, you've got a book signing, too.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, on Saturday between 2 and 4 p.m., I'll be autographing books at the Council 6 offices at 3202 East 1st Street, Tucson.
All right, 2 to 4 in the afternoon. Have a great holiday season, Dave. Thank you very much.
Sure.
All right, coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 9. And then City Manager Mike Ortega, my guest on our Friday Focus interview, followed by the roundtable at 12:30. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.